The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC, joins us now with all of the latest motoring news. And we start with motoring news that has yet to materialise, which is the autonomous cars that we have now been hearing about since God was a boy. Still no sign.
Yeah. I thought we'd have a little look at that because I'd spoken to Pat about it previously, and I really think autonomous cars are the future. But if you consider Tesla, I mean, one of Tesla's woes at the moment is the fall in the share price and dropping sales of their EVs. But originally, they were supposed to be EV pioneers and autonomous car pioneers. You know, 6-7 years ago, that's all Elon Musk was talking about. He was tweeting about LiDAR and various different systems.
Well, and the rest. 2015, he was promising them around the corner.
Oh, they were definitely going to be here. And the technology has been slow. Poor old Tesla had another setback. US regulators are looking at their summon mode, which they're not allowed to use in Europe, but you press a button and the car comes to you, say from from its parking space to the entry to the parking lot, here comes your car. They can't use that in the US anymore because of a number of collisions that have occurred with failure to the software. A couple of the big players have pulled out of autonomous vehicles. Apple's car project appears to be gone. The big one is the GM's Cruise project appears to be folded at the moment as well. The main competitor who are ahead of Tesla currently is actually Google or Alphabet. Their Waymo product, where they're concentrating on driverless taxis, and notwithstanding some challenges and some regulatory issues, there was a piece of viral footage the other day of some poor fella stuck in one of these taxis going around in circles in a car park and him trying to ring the helpline and download the app to get the damn thing to stop. But they will say that they are already statistically safer than a human driver. But what they're discovering is it's going to take a lot more than that to convince Joe Public to accept these technologies.
And in terms of the technologies, there seems to be a central divergence, which is the Tesla approach using essentially video cameras and everybody else using laser-based radar.
And video cameras, but mostly they're multi-systemic. So everybody's going to wind up using everything and it'll be a multi-sensor platform on the car. And as I say, already...
Will Tesla buckle and start using LiDAR?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it was a bit asking about Betamax and VHS back in the day. But I think what is clear is that the technology will come. But where Elon Musk was convinced we're going to get EVs and autonomous cars arriving essentially simultaneously, the rest of the world has said, no, EVs are coming first. And the self-drive technology, which is all kind of exciting and we can all see in the future, is actually a generation or so away. And we'll see it now in places like airport complexes or secure campuses or various bits and pieces. As a little footnote to that one, the driverless bus in Scotland that I spoke to Pat about a couple of years ago, that launched the world's first robotic bus between Edinburgh and Fife, they've canned it due to lack of interest. Now, it was a bit of a swizz because the bus was capable of driving autonomously, but such was the health and safety paranoia that it actually needed two human beings to sit with it while it did so, which made the whole thing a little bit redundant and silly. But you're seeing it in things like sort of airport shuttle navettes and things like that. We're familiar with driverless trains, and driverless will definitely come, but not as fast as Tesla's best. That seems
and of course
clear.
The big challenge is that final step to what I think they call level 5 in autonomy, where instead of you monitoring the autopilot while it drives, you can effectively have a snooze. That's the leap that is difficult to make.
Yeah, and funny enough, the interim steps are even more dangerous than a human driver. So if you're on a motorway, supposed to be watching the road, and in fact with a bit of software insisting that you keep your hands on the wheel, but actually the car is doing everything and you're trying to read your laptop. If a crisis happens in that situation, it's obviously potentially lethal. But as I say, the argument is that already with current technology, you can reasonably prove that it's safer than any human driver. But what we're discovering is that that's not good enough. We're going to need levels of safety beyond that which we demand of airlines before we'll actually let a computer thread its way through kindergarten children on the way to school.
The other issue, of course, then, that is significant is the economic implication of it, because when driverless comes in, it means that you have the scope for driverless deliveries and driverless trucking. And if you get that, you lose what is, I think in Western Europe, but definitely in the States, the single largest source of employment for men without a college education.
Yeah, it's going to be a big challenge. I mean, to begin with, there might be no such thing as taxi drivers, but you can extend that and think about all the logistics and delivery industry that exists. Conceivably, that could all be roboticized and automated. And I suppose the only thing you say about the far future is, you know, journalists are facing the same thing. ChatGPT will knock you out an opinion piece in 3 seconds flat. And we're all sort of facing it. But you know what? We don't have Coopers anymore. We don't, you know, the internet, did it spell the end for librarians, or did it do a little bit more for the planet than that? I think as a society, we'll have to adjust to that.
Well, on the topic of, you said that EVs are definitely the way that we are heading.
Yeah.
Incentivized slightly by fuel prices on the up again.
Fuel prices, well, on the up, or at least on the not down. I was looking at the latest AA figures, 180 for a litre of petrol. And you kind of think, well, it was that bad last year, wasn't it? So it's kind of ceased to have a year on year inflation impact, which does not mean that it's gone. I mean, 180 for a litre of petrol is bloody expensive. And for all of this talk about, you know, EVs and all that, bear in mind that, you know, 95% of the cars on the road are still putting a fossil fuel into the tank, whether they're hybrids or full. So we talk about, you know, new EV sales this, and will they be 20% this year? We're going to sell maybe 30,000 EVs this year. There are 2.3 million private cars on the road. So for the time being, and certainly for tax reasons, it's all about those fossil fuels. And we have a thumping great amount of tax on them here in Ireland, some of which was removed in the inflation response that came post-pandemic, but is now back on. So why is my litre of petrol still 180 this year when that's what it was last year? The answer is the price has come down, but the tax has been reimposed.
Remind us the percentage that we pay in tax?
It's a knocking on the door of 60%, thereabouts, of what you pay when you go in and you buy your fuel is going directly to the government without passing go. And you might give out about the service station, but he, you know, the service station, if you fill your tank and buy an Americano, he's probably making as much out of the Americano as he is out of your fill of juice. But the government is taking.
So doing a quick bit of maths, that would mean that shorn of the taxation that is on it, a litre of petrol would actually cost somewhere around 85 cents.
Correct. Thereabouts. And the AA, helpfully, since my time back there, publish that every month. They publish a national average figure and they'll show underneath that how that's all making up. How that's all made up, and you'll have how the different taxes work, whether it's called whether it's called a NORA levy, or whether it's called a carbon levy, or whether it's just excise duty. It's all the same thing. Adds up to nearly 60% of the gross.
The text saying, re-driverless cars, the only use case I want, and no one mentions, is that I want to drive to the airport and send my empty car home, then summon it via an app to meet me when I return.
Wouldn't that be brilliant? Or even more mundanely, I want to go, you know, I want to stay in the golf club for 3 or 4 pints after my round of golf. My car can drive me home. And while I'm playing golf, it can go and do the shopping. And, you know, conceivably, there's nothing in current technology that prevents that.
And of course, the ultimate utopia is we end up in a situation where they mesh communicate with each other and your car says, I'm leaving a parking space, and tells mine that it's available, and suddenly traffic is gone as well.
You don't even need to own a car. They're like the Dublin bikes. You know, you just summon on an app whichever pod-like thing is free and you jump into it with your golf clubs and away you go. And this is all conceivably the future, conceivably. But it's further away than Elon Musk and some of the visionaries thought. You know, they thought we could have it in 5 or 10 years. Clearly not.
Text asking, my car insurance expires in November. My current disc does not have my driver ID number. Do I have to replace it with the ID number before March 31st, or can I wait till November?
You can wait till November. And what's important is not the disc that your vehicle displays. What's important is that your insurance provider must have the driver number for all drivers. They have to have that, or they can't even offer you renewal come November. You'll get it easily enough. 4D on the driving license. They may have yours. They might not. Not have your spouses or a kids or whatever it is, must have all driver numbers, or they will not be able to either renew or sell you insurance.
But that doesn't need to be done retroactively to an exist. If your policy renews in October, you can wait till October.
You can wait till October. Now, you'll still need to do it, so get on and do it, or it'll be a pain come October. And if you are one of those people who hasn't regularised your affairs. You know, maybe the spouse has actually been on a British licence for the last 6 years and the insurance company never asked. Or maybe the youngster didn't pass the driving test and has renewed the provisional. You will have to fix that if you want to renew your insurance. Post the end of this month, the deadline is right on top of us. So post the 31st of March, insurance company cannot give you insurance if you can't give them all driver numbers.
Now, a bit of a warning for motorists in the form of a parking scam, which is rearing its ugly head again.
Again and again in Wicklow. And this is a clever little scam, the fiends, but it's a fake QR code put onto the parking meter. So when you pull up, I mean, the last time they tried this, it was actually in Bray and Greystones. This recent outbreak is in Arklow, so again in County Wicklow. But you arrive at what is actually a pay zone parking unit, pay unit, and there's what seems to be an entirely legitimate QR code on it, leading to a good-looking fake site that's looking for your card details. Nasty scam. Payzone are pointing out they never use QR codes. Download the legitimate app. It's not affected by this and you won't be scammed. But just a word of warning, because it's a clever one and they've tried it again. So just be very, very careful about, you know, going using a QR code that's visible in public and assuming the link that it takes you to is genuine, because it can be faked. I think you're better off going the long way around, finding the authentic app of the provider you're looking for and downloading that from the App Store first, rather than trusting a QR code you can scan in public.
We're getting repeated variations on the same theme in respect of what you're saying in relation to the driver's number. What happens if you have an open drive on your policy? Another, my car is insurance is open drive. Do I have to have everybody's license number? What happens in that instance?
Well, insurance company will tell you probably yes, could well be the case, yes. Now, for some open drive policies, no, because there are things like fleet policies, etc. But again, your insurance company will probably want the information. And what I would say to everybody is it's not a problem. It's written on your driving license. Take it out of your wallet and read it. The insurance companies need it. No big deal.
No, but
becomes a big deal if you don't have it.
But surely if I have open driving, I have it so that I can allow you to drive my car. Yeah. I now am. It means I can't just lob you the keys and say, take my car, Connor, because you're not in my insurance anymore.
No, you can still do that. And it'll be stipulated on your open drive policy. A lot of open drive policies will have the individual drivers named. So, for example, a company or a fleet where all driving licenses would need to be provided. In other cases, you might have what they call open drive, which normally means anybody between the age of 25 and 70 who has a full license themselves can drive your car. And there's other things about
it. But in that instance, what happens with the driver's number?
The driver's number, you shouldn't need to provide it then. But the detail on that will be given to you by your insurance company. And I've often said over the years, you know, individual insurance policies will vary, and they will. So you'd ask your insurance company if you've got a query like that. But for the majority that are out there, and I do mean the overwhelming majority, if they don't have it already, it's the easiest thing in the world. Take your wallet out of your pocket, read the driver number on your driving license. The insurance company need that. If you don't have one, then you have a different problem.
An economics question to finish up. Take the tax out and electric cars are far more expensive to run than combustion engine cars. Electric cars are the emperor's new clothes.
I disagree, because one of the reasons why they're expensive currently is manufacturing cost is expensive, so they're expensive to buy and they need to be subsidised a little bit to compete. That's going to change.
But as we now stand, if you take out the subsidies that are provided and if you took out the tax that is applied to combustion fuels rather than to electricity.
If you just did everything on bare metal tax-free.
If it was a fair fight.
Yeah. Well, is it a fair fight? Because it's a start-up. Remember that when you talk about the combustion engine, you're talking about 50 years, 100 years of sunk capital into a established production lines with established technology. Electric is much, much better, innovatively so. It costs less to maintain an electric car. Once you've built it and it's on the road, really doesn't
need
to be
serviced. But as we now stand.
As we now stand, it's a startup technology. So as it gets bigger, it will outcompete the combustion engine. It's also the future. It's also the future. Look, forget about the culture war. Something everybody can agree on. We're going to have to stop using oil. You know, we run out of it in the 21st century if nothing else happens, even if you didn't believe in climate science or whatever it is. Electric is a better technology, so we're going to start using it.
Connor, thank you very much. That is Connor Faulkner.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.